Bishop on air. Good morning. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Shout out to Tattooed Squirrel. I see him here in the live chat. Got a letter yesterday in the mail. It said, "Do not bend." And it says, "Greg, returning the favor of receiving your patch. Enjoy this patch and sticker, Tattooed Squirrel." And he hooked me up. Tattooed Squirrel giving me a sticker and a patch. It looks exactly like his logo. That's pretty awesome. So appreciate that. It's a good quality patch. What is that? That's like some kind of latex or something. It's even got Velcro on the back. Wow, it's good stuff. As he says in the chat, I've just been squirreled. Appreciate you guys, and it's humbling to see you every morning in the chat room, so thank you so much for being here. Bishop on air, some stuff we got to tackle. We got to get to the Bears announcements. Listen, I don't even watch sports, but when you're talking about billions of dollars in tax dollars at stake here, we've got to delve into that. Also, we've got a state senator's reaction to the governor's comments earlier this week about hysteria around the migrant issue. But up next, let's talk about a recent ruling in a federal court concerning young people 18 to 20 and the ability to carry firearms and what, if any, impact it's going to have here in the state of Illinois. So stay tuned. That's next here with Bishop on Air. People between the age of 18 and 20 have the right to concealed carry, and that's out of Pennsylvania. But what does it mean for Illinois? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Welcome back to Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop, hanging with you here each and every weekday morning. Really do appreciate you being here. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, and join us. Programming note, I'm off Friday and Monday, so just be cautious of that. But we've got this latest from the Second Amendment Foundation and their news release. Federal court in Pennsylvania hands victory to Second Amendment Foundation. Young adults in carry case. So let's go ahead and read through this together. The U.S. District Court in the Western District of Pennsylvania has handed a significant victory to the Second Amendment Foundation and young adults in the 18 to 20 year age group, allowing them to apply for concealed carry license in that state while enjoining the state from arresting any law-abiding citizens in that age group for openly carrying firearms during a state of emergency. The case, known as Lara versus Evanchik, the Second Amendment Foundation, joined by the Firearms Policy Coalition and three private citizens, including Madison, Lara, and for whom the case is named, they're represented by various attorneys. U.S. District Judge William Stickman, a Donald Trump appointee, issued the ruling in which he writes, "The commissioner of the Pennsylvania State Police is hereby enjoined," which means prohibited, "from arresting law-abiding persons 18 to 20 years old who openly carry firearms during a state of emergency declared by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania." The judge further enjoined the commissioner and his subordinates from preventing any individual between the age of 18 and 20 years old who are not qualified from exercising their Second Amendment rights from carrying loaded operable firearms, including handguns, on their person, in public, and in their vehicles for all lawful purposes, including self-defense. So you've got the Second Amendment Foundation's executive director, Adam Kraut, saying that the judge's injunction has conferred the same Second Amendment rights upon 18 to 20-year-olds for those over the age of 20 had. The victory is on the heels of a decision last month, the Second Amendment Foundation says, by the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals to deny a petition by the state for a rehearing in the case. The court had ruled that young adults could carry firearms openly during state of emergency, and now the judge has expanded that to include the ability to apply for a carry license. So what does this mean for a state like Illinois? Well, you got to keep in mind where this is. It's Pennsylvania. So until it gets to a higher court, which I believe they're in the Third Circuit, so we're in the Seventh Circuit. I might be wrong on that, but regardless, a ruling in an appeals court circuit only applies to that circuit, from my understanding. So this would have to get all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court for there to be national precedence. Because as it is right now, according to Illinois State Police and their website, the concealed carry license website, it talks about the age restrictions and how you have to be 21 years old in order to have a concealed carry license, and how they ultimately spell that out in state law. So we'll see what happens when it comes to this particular case from the Second Amendment Foundation going up, possibly on appeal, and what it could mean for a state like Illinois as to whether or not people can get a concealed carry license. So again, some of the rules here, I'm just going to look it up. When it comes to the age of somebody looking for a concealed carry license, and here we go. We've got you've got to be at least 21 years old. This is from the Illinois State Police qualifications for a license. The department shall issue a license in applicants completing the application in accordance with the section. If they're at least 21 years old, have a valid FOID card, not been convicted of a crime, misdemeanor, and so on. So that key, right there, 21 years old. Are people under the age of 21 not able to exercise their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms? Again, these things are being litigated in the courts, not just in Illinois, but elsewhere throughout the country, and it could have long-ranging implications for even Illinois state law. So interesting to see that. Just wanted to kind of look at what's happening in other areas of the country and how it could possibly impact a state like Illinois. So a little brief update for you on that particular case to keep you going this morning with Bishop on Air. So like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Greatly appreciate you guys being here each and every weekday morning. Contact me online. Find me anywhere. Just search Bishop on Air on X, on Facebook. You can even email me, bishoponair@gmail.com. All right, make it happen. Though I played peewee football throughout most of my childhood, started varsity my freshman year, and played football all throughout high school, I don't watch sports now. I don't. But whenever you have a huge team like the Chicago Bears talking about how they're going to build a new stadium and the possible taxpayer costs, well, we got to talk about it. This is Bishop on Air. Thanks for hanging out. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Yesterday, big announcement from the Chicago Bears, which is like their third announcement of a new stadium idea, I think. Maybe some people can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you recall, they announced that they had purchased the former Arlington Heights racetrack. And then they said, hey, we're going to make a huge campus, all kinds of different, entertainment and even living and office space. And don't forget about the domed sports complex that the Chicago Bears wanted to build in Arlington Heights. They got mired in a whole bunch of tax issues there. And then all of a sudden they come back the rumors they want to make a lakefront property on Lake Michigan in Chicago, keep the Bears in Chicago, and have a huge taxpayer liability there when it comes to how it would be split of private investment and public investment. So let's get right into this. They shared a promotional video of what some of the renderings look like with a lot of flashy graphics and surely to get all you Chicago Bears fans really super duper excited. Picture, real slick. It's a domed stadium. They're going to keep the historic columns from Soldier Field. It's going to have synergy with the museums and so on. So clearly a pretty big deal in the announcements. And they even had, of all people, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson there to celebrate the announcements. And apparently he is fully on board with this idea.
With this plan, the Bears are committing to $2 billion of investments. Chicago will experience the increased tax revenue from this investment, expanded public recreation, stronger economic growth for the entire city of Chicago for generations to come. And one of the defining features of this project is that it calls for the implementation of everything that my administration has called for, true public investment. But what it does not call for are raising existing taxes or implementing any new taxes on the residents of the city of Chicago. This will include access to innovative retail and hospitality offerings provided by talented local entrepreneurs from all of the neighborhoods. This plan truly embodies the spirit of the Burnham Plan. We hope to use this new stadium to host several year-round events, including Chicago Public School Championships, graduations, major concerts, Final Fours, Big Ten Championships. My next inauguration, I don't know, we just keep adding to it.
So there's the mayor having some fun with the announcement, but also they're looking to possibly get a chance to host the Super Bowl in the future. But how's all this going to be paid for? You had the Bears CFO, Karen Murphy, with a slide presentation spelling out the costs.
So what does the stadium cost? What is the budget? And how are we proposing to pay for it? Our all-in stadium budget is $3.2 billion. We're targeting a stadium cost of $2.75 billion, and then when we add in some of the financing costs, as well as a contingency that's appropriate for a project this size, that gets us to the $3.2 billion budget. How are we going to pay for this? So as we stated, Bears ownership is putting in over $2 billion to this project. That will be a combination of both equity and debt contributions. In addition, we will look to the NFL Stadium Program for a $300 million loan. If you add up the numbers, that leaves us with a $900 million funding gap. We will be looking to the ISFA program and their bonding mechanism to fill this gap. Our plan is using the ISFA hotel tax that's in place now. There are two things we're looking at with this proposal. One, we would like to refinance the existing debt that's outstanding on both the guaranteed rate and Soldier Field stadiums. In doing that and extending the debt out, the bonds out for 40 years, we will free up enough capacity that we believe could be close to or exceed $1 billion.
So clearly they have a plan here. They say that a little over a quarter of it is going to be taxpayer funded, while the Bears and other entities put in three quarters of the total project cost. But that's just to build it. What about the infrastructure around it? I mean, you're talking about a lot of infrastructure improvements that are going to be needed.
First phase is around $325 million. This is the infrastructure needed to open the stadium. All in, our stadium project is $3.5 billion. It is $3.2 billion for the stadium and it's just over $300 million in infrastructure. The second two phases, we believe, will both maximize the site as well as bring additional opportunities for publicly owned amenities in the parks.
So you're looking at these three phases here. First phase, $325 million to open it, and then $510 million for the second phase for parking, a bus expansion area, new parks and play fields, and then the phase three, $665 million for further transportation improvements. All together, what is that? $1.1 billion plus, it's about $1.5 billion just for the infrastructure costs. So where's that money going to come from? You have the city's financial officer, Jill Jarowski, part of the announcement as well. So, I mean, the city of Chicago is fully on board with this. And she talked about how they're going to be tapping into even federal tax dollars.
We've been working closely with the state.
There's substantial infrastructure funding that comes from the federal government, gets remitted to the states, and becomes available for projects around the state. We will be working with the state to pursue those funds for the road work that's going to be needed.
So, again, working with the state to get those federal tax funds for the road work that's needed to help boost attendance at the Chicago Bears' proposed Lakefront Stadium. Here is some of the state's leaders, Governor J.B. Pritzker and House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch, throwing cold water on this idea.
I wasn't invited, and I had this already scheduled. That's the truth. I think they announced this 2 days ago. I'm not sure, a day ago. So, yeah. I don't think they uninvited me. They just knew. I mean, I had this on the schedule. So, yeah. Look, I'm a Bears fan. I want to be clear, and I want them to win, and I want them to have a great place to play. But I just think that the taxpayers' dollars need to be protected. I think it's my job to be a good steward of those dollars. But, you know, this could be a lot better for taxpayers than what they put forward. That's all I'm saying. And clearly, this is how they've begun. You know, what they think is a negotiating process. All I can say is that we have three teams that have come forward and would like to build stadiums and have the state and the city support those stadiums. And this is one team that is offering to take all of the tax revenue for their stadium, and there apparently is nothing left over for the other two teams.
If we were to put this issue on the board for a vote right now, it would fail, and it would fail miserably. There's no environment for something like this today. Now, in Springfield, environments change. Will that environment change within the next 30 days? I think that's highly unlikely. You know, I think there's a whole lot of Chicago Bears fans in the General Assembly, but our priorities are pretty clear. And we, starting next week, have 1 month to pass another balanced budget, to continue the positive outlook that Moody's talked about yesterday with regard to our financial health. And I can tell you that's something that we have front and center as a top priority for us right now. Taking care of working families across this state is a top priority for us right now. That's the bottom.
So the governor, the House Speaker, and even the Senate president throwing cold water on this idea, saying that they're skeptical. For me being a reporter at the State House, listen, when we come back next week to full action at the State House, it's going to be pedal to the metal throughout all of May. They're even scheduled in on some Saturdays and Sundays, and they've got to get a budget together by the end of the month with simple majorities. Throwing this into the mix, it's likely there could be some last-minute deals to get this across the finish line, and who knows, it could be one of those 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning deals that passes. I'm preparing for those long, long nights. But even the Bears CEO, Kevin Warren, he was asked, when do you want to get this done? He says, we want to get it done in spring session. Well, what about fall veto session? Could you wait until fall veto session? And here's the Bears' official response to that.
I mean, we feel that the time is now. I mean, every year that we wait, it's $150 to $200 million of increased costs that ultimately we'll have to figure out, but we don't think that's prudent. The time is now, so our expectation is in this session, And the reason why we're staging that now and not even in a fall veto session is because even if we're approved in a fall veto session, we wouldn't be able to get into the ground because of the weather. It would push it back a year. That if we're approved in May, then that will allow us to be able to start construction to put people to work next summer. And that would allow us 36 months later to open up our building in 2028. So this truly is one of those adages that time is money, and we do need to figure this out. And that's why we've put forth such a robust program and plan.
So tax dollars for a Chicago Bears project, we're going to see that possibly surface during the final weeks of the Illinois legislature's spring session. And I've already seen the comments from people saying, why don't you get the money from the undocumented migrants that have been getting all kinds of services in the state of Illinois. So we'll see how the public reacts to this, but at least the temperature that was provided by House Speaker Chris Welch, there's no appetite for this at the State House. And again, it's not just the Bears. You had the White Sox looking for some public financing. And even the women's professional soccer team looking for some public financing. So how's it going to work? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But I appreciate you guys being here with Bishop on Air. All right, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Regular updates, keeping you posted what's going on in and around Illinois here with Bishop on Air. And don't forget to check out thecentersquare.com. thecentersquare.com/Illinois, where you can get more on all of this. Gonna try to get some Discord calls. Got another segment we gotta bust out, though. Bear with me. Bear down. I don't even watch sports.
I've seen the hysteria on Facebook and gets promoted sometimes about that busloads of people are being shipped from Chicago to some other place in Illinois. That's not happening. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, the governor often likes to call people names and say people are acting hysterical or whatever. And that's usually his reaction to, I think, mild-mannered people just asking reasonable questions.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker earlier this week, followed by State Senator Jason Plummer, who I chatted with yesterday to get reaction to the governor, who said that there's hysteria around the concerns people have seeing the influx of non-citizen migrants to the state of Illinois. Welcome back, Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Appreciate you guys being here. Here's just a little bit of what the governor had to say on Monday at an unrelated event where he talked about the migrant issue, and he was asked about the sanctuary state policies, and he said, no, it's never used that term. But the state does have the Trust Act, which says you can't enforce federal immigration law if that's the only thing somebody has against them. So if they're, you know, getting pulled over for a traffic violation and they just happen to be an illegal immigrant, local police can't assist federal authorities in detaining that individual and ultimately leading to some kind of deportation. But the governor, after talking about that, he then went on to say that there's a lot of, quote, hysteria out there on, quote, Facebook that he's worried about seeing more and more of. And he says he's pushing back against that.
You know, there's a lot of hysteria that's going around about the fact that we have legal asylum seekers. They have papers. They're here legally in this country while they get a hearing, while they wait for a hearing. And that we're, you know, trying to provide them, those who don't have work authorization, and we're trying to get more work authorizations for them because there are jobs available in Illinois for them. But we're just trying to provide them with some basic humanitarian care. And we've done that, I believe. I've seen the hysteria on Facebook and gets promoted sometimes about that busloads of people are being shipped from Chicago to some other place in Illinois. That's not happening. It hasn't happened. it's not going to happen. We are receiving busloads of people from the state of Texas without any prior notice of their arrival, sometimes in the middle of the night. Why do they do that? Because they want to cause chaos. We have managed to rein it in so that it's not chaos. And indeed, our goal here is to help people get to their hearings, to get determined whether they actually can have legal asylum and stay in the United States or be deported by that hearing. But it's our job, I believe, to act in a humanitarian fashion. It's what Illinois, I believe, stands for. It's who we are as Illinoisans. And we will care for them. You know, we believe that comprehensive border security as well as immigration reform will help us manage this in years going forward. But we're going to do everything we can right now.
So the governor saying that there's hysteria. When I chatted with State Senator Jason Plummer, Republican from Edwardsville, he said that this is just typical of the governor.
Well, you know, the governor often likes to call people names and say people are acting hysterical or whatever. And that's usually his reaction to, I think, mild-mannered people just asking reasonable questions. And there's a lot of people in Illinois that have questions about what this administration's policies are and what this administration's solutions are for some of the real problems we're facing. Some of those problems are really being stressed by the migrant situation that's occurring in Illinois right now.
So Plummer was also discussing the priorities and how you've got a budget coming up and the costs continue to stack for the non-citizen migrants here in Illinois for things like health care and housing and food and education and even legal assistance, as you heard the governor say, to get people to their asylum hearing. So what about all those priorities? Again, more from State Senator Jason Plummer. And go.
Right. So what is the governor's priorities other than running for president? I mean, this governor has continued to show that he is not going to prioritize the most vulnerable Illinoisans. When I talk about the stress that the migrant crisis is putting on our systems, we can get into the finances here in a second. But what we're doing to the education system, criminal justice, social services, housing, all of these things, there's a dollar cost to them. But there's also an opportunity cost to them. And that opportunity cost is Illinoisans aren't getting those services. Illinoisans are being pushed to the back of the line by people who are not Illinoisans, who this governor invited to the state. You know, the governor will downplay the numbers, but at the end of the day, Illinois taxpayers are going to spend well north of $1 billion. Some people say now we're approaching two, if not more than $2 billion on non-citizen migrants in the state. We simply can't afford it. But in addition to not being able to afford it, we're raising taxes on Illinoisans and we're taking services away from Illinoisans to support folks that this governor invited to the state.
And you heard the governor say that those here as non-citizen migrants are here as legal asylum seekers. Keep in mind, those asylum hearings could be 7 years off into the future. So are they just going to hang out here that entire time? Plummer being asked about, are they all really here as asylum seekers?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I mean, anyone that takes a walk downtown Chicago and looks at the way some of these folks are housed, they look at the encampments, they look at everything that's going on. For this governor to even pretend there's any structure or organization to this process, he's just fooling himself. What he has done with a few like-minded individuals from around the country is they have created a flood of migrants at the border. Texas, Arizona, these places have been absolutely overwhelmed. Now they're in California. Now they're in Illinois. Why are they in places like this? Because we've invited them. To pretend that there's any rhyme or reason or structure or organization is the governor just once again gaslighting the people of Illinois. And I hope that the media and I hope that the folks that are in a position to ask questions don't let him do that. You know, one item that we don't touch on, because we often talk about the massive costs and we talk about the stress on our social service providers. But these migrants, what they go through on their journey to Illinois that this governor is prodding them to embark upon, the rape, the trafficking, the fentanyl that's coming with them, that's killing 100,000 Americans a year, the abuse, the families being broken up. It is an absolute tragedy. It is a humanitarian crisis. And we see these people who are being put in really bad spots, and they land in Illinois, and the state's not prepared to handle them either. This governor has really created a real crisis. And instead of calling people names and saying that folks that ask questions are hysterical, he needs to tell us, what's the solution? How are we going to afford it? And how do we fix it long term? Because the problem is only going to get worse until we have leadership in the governor's mansion.
So you heard Plummer there address not just the cost, but also the humanitarian concerns. But, you know, you've got all of these different policies that have been in place that Governor J.B. Pritzker has enhanced from the previous Republican governor, Bruce Rauner. Those policies, including the Trust Act, which prohibits local law enforcement from assisting federal immigration authorities in enforcing immigration. You've also got the non-citizen health care that started in 2019 and then ballooned in costs and expanded to 42 and up, to the point where the governor actually had to put controls on that to limit people from signing up because it kept growing and growing in cost. I think the estimated cost now is upwards to $700 million a year. You've got the hundreds of millions of dollars that is costing taxpayers in Chicago and the state of Illinois for direct services like food and housing and school and even legal assistance for work permits and even their asylum hearings. So all of these policies, Plummer says, is a real big magnet for those individuals seeking Illinois as a place to land their feet.
Well, they're not just a magnet, but they're the biggest magnet of the 50 states, right? So, I mean, we talk about a lot of these things, but let's just drill down into the numbers. I mean, the gold-plated Cadillac healthcare plans that these migrants receive is better than the healthcare plan that any Illinoisans receive. It's a fee for service. So it costs about, you know, $1.75, for every dollar we would spend on a similar federal backed program. And on those federal backed programs, you know, we're getting reimbursed at like 50 cents on the dollar. Well, on this plan, that's nearly twice as expensive. We're getting no federal backing. So it's a fee for service plan that's obscenely expensive, that is better than any Illinoisan gets. I mean, if that were opened up to just citizens around the country, we would see a swarm of citizens coming to Illinois to take advantage of that healthcare program. We just don't offer it to citizens. We offer it to non-citizens. So it's a huge magnet. It's a bigger magnet than any other states offer. What are other magnets? It's the housing. It's the education. It's the legal assistance. It's the lack of law enforcement and criminal justice. So now we see gangs from Venezuela and these other places that are organized criminal groups that are taking advantage of this governor's soft on crime policies to victimize Illinoisans. So we have a huge magnet for these folks. And unfortunately, in some instances, it's a magnet for people who aren't coming to Illinois to do good, right? And that's a real problem. Illinoisans are paying for it. The governor doesn't have a plan, and it's only going to get worse until we have leadership.
So the governor says the chaos is because of states like Texas sending non-citizen migrants crossing the border illegally to blue states to cause chaos, put pressure on them and so on, make them look bad and also harm those migrants. But you know, Plummer says that this is just a byproduct of the Democrats' policies nationwide.
Well, I think it's happening in mass, specifically in Illinois, because of what we just discussed. And there is a crisis on the Texas border. There's a crisis in Arizona. But, you know, governors like J.B. Pritzker and Gavin Newsom and mayors like Eric Adams and Brandon Johnson and other mayors around the country, right? They're all about being a sanctuary city. They're all about being a sanctuary state until it's happening to their city and their state. They're fine letting Texas suffer and deal with the tragedy that they're creating. They're fine letting Arizona deal with it. But then when Texas and Arizona says, hey, pay your fair share, J.B. Pritzker, then he wants to moan and complain and blame Governor Abbott. It's hypocrisy at its finest, and it's typical of this governor, right? Have you ever seen J.B. Pritzker accept responsibility for anything? No, he plays word games and he blames other people while calling them names, and that's what he's doing to Governor Abbott. The nice thing about the governor doing that is, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat or independent, nobody buys that for a half a second. This governor is incapable of accepting responsibility. And the more that his excuses and his blame games become ludicrous, the more people see through his lack of leadership.
But I also asked Jason Plummer, state senator from Edwardsville, when I chatted with him yesterday, about the political calculations behind all of this.
Well, I think anyone that assumes that there's not a political calculation being conducted by certain Democrats as part of this migrant crisis nationwide, I think they'd be fooling themselves. And again, that takes me back to the human tragedy of the situation. You have some of the most vulnerable people on this planet getting abused, getting trafficked, getting raped, getting murdered, being forced to transport fentanyl that's then killing Americans. And at the end of the day, a portion of why this is occurring is because of a political calculation of the Democrat Party. And everyone knows that, Greg. And I just can't imagine something more evil and more disgusting than that. We're supposed to be working to take it to help people who are in a vulnerable position and to take the initiative and fix some of the problems. And as we've seen with the migrant crisis, we're making problems in Illinois for citizens and non-citizens even worse.
Appreciate State Senator Jason Plummer taking the time with us yesterday to react to Governor J.B. Pritzker and his comments about, quote, hysteria around the migrant crisis. Here you have it. The latest in the back and forth there here with Bishop on Air. Greatly appreciate you guys being here and joining me each and every weekday morning. Like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, all right? Let's get into the Discord, pulling that up now so that you can join us here with Bishop on Air. If you don't know where the Discord's at, just head over to bishoponair.com and you can click that link. I'm going to go ahead and set up a staging area for you to essentially call in. So starting that staging area, your calls. Listen to that, that good hold music. All right, start in the staging area, but I'm really digging that music. That's good. All right, let's see here. All right, so Warsaw Patriots already standing by. So we're going to go ahead and have him pop in here and have him have his voice heard. Let's see. Go ahead. It's been a bit since we've done the Discord, guys. I'm getting back used to it, I guess. Warsaw, I have invited you to chat. What is going on, my friend? Oh, hold on a second. Oh, now I've got you. Microphone had to be turned on there. What's going on, man? Warsaw, can you hear me? Check one. Check two. No. All right. Well, let's see if Brian is able to jump in here and sound off. Brian, I've invited you to speak, so please feel free to accept that invite and hop in here. It's not quite like taking live phone calls on terrestrial radio. Not quite. Brian popped out. Let's see here. Warsaw, I'm going to invite you to speak. Molly, I'll get to you in a moment as we've got a couple of people in the staging area. Warsaw, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
I can. All right. Fantastic. What's going on?
Yeah. A whole lot. Thanks for the invite, Greg. So yeah, the whole migrant situation we have here with all these illegals and all of this—it's getting more maddening, especially when the state government's proposing more funding for our stupid stadium, Chicago.
Well, a lot of the comments I've seen so far in response to the Chicago Bears announcement is go to the undocumented migrants that have been getting all this money and get it back if you want those tax dollars. And I imagine the black community in Chicago, seeing this announcement as well, they've already been pretty upset about the funds going to non-citizens. Now they're going to see funds possibly go to the Chicago Bears. There's got to be a different way around this for private entities to seek ways to boost their bottom line.
Yep. And I don't know if you've been paying attention, but have you heard about these squatters in people's houses and all that getting arrested by the feds and local police departments?
Well, I know in Illinois they have a proposal that did advance out of a Senate committee allowing for police to actually address the squatting situation in Illinois. Because right now, police groups are like, they really don't have the tools to address these things. And it's very confusing when you get on the ground and you have differing stories and you're trying to poke holes in stories, and then it just turns into a landlord-tenant issue. But we'll see if the state actually moves forward with that proposal. But, yeah, I mean, the squatting issue is a major, major concern.
Yeah, because I just found it yesterday. Out of all places, New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul actually made a law where it's if any squatter is found inside anybody's home, they will be arrested and removed immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
New York State and city.
It's pretty remarkable, especially considering that if you remember during COVID-19, we had an eviction moratorium where you had landlords unable to evict people who didn't pay their rent. And that was a huge blow to a ton of people. Appreciate you, Warsaw, chiming in. But yeah, the landlord-tenant issue, the issue of people going off to a trip for 3 months and then coming back home and finding somebody that's taken over their house, that's extremely problematic. And how exactly you go about addressing that, not too sure. All right, Molly, I've got you on now. Good morning. What's going on? Yeah, you're muted. You got to unmute yourself, and then you can chime in.
How's that?
Ah, beautiful. Fantastic. Thanks for taking time with us. What's up?
Well, I really don't have comments so much that I just want to say thank you for what you do in keeping us all informed on what's going on in Springfield. You do a terrific job, and especially keeping us up to date on all of the lawsuits going on concerning the ban on firearms in the state of Illinois. And it's complicated keeping up with all the cases, and you just do a fantastic job of doing that. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And listen, this is me doing the show on my own time, but my full-time gig has me just absolutely inundated with news. I get paid to do that, right? I mean, that's my full-time job. And I feel that responsibility when it comes to ensuring that readers, listeners, subscribers to my work through thecentersquare.com and the work that my team does as well, focused on Illinois, there's a huge responsibility there to, give it to you guys straight, to not just parrot the official line from the majority party, but to ensure that all voices, not just both sides, but all voices get their say in these issues. And too often I find that that's not always the case. There seems to be agendas behind some things, but it's a lot of work and a huge responsibility. So I appreciate you recognizing that.
Well, I tell you, we recognize that. And it's hard to get the news on a fair basis about what's going on with the gun rights issues. And we like the fact that you make sure both sides are heard and get the details out there. When you're looking for news about these issues, it's hard to find in the regular, what I call the regular media. They're not really, it's not one of their priorities to give us that news. And we just really appreciate the fact that it is a priority for you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really do appreciate that. Thank you so much, Molly, for chiming in. And we'll definitely hear from you in the future, I hope. And somebody says, need a GoFundMe page, Greg. Captain Mike, don't do that. How about you go to thecentersquare.com and click the donate button there. All right. If you like the work I'm doing on the regular, and I bring a lot of that to what you guys see every morning, go and donate to thecentersquare.com. It is a nonprofit 501c3 educational organization that we do a lot of work to educate the public. And being a nonprofit, you can get more information on how you can help out. Again, go to thecentersquare.com, click that donate button, and you'll be able to make a donation. So we really do thrive off of those donations, and it keeps us doing what we're doing day in, day out. So really do appreciate that. All right, guys, I got to get out of here. Still a full day of work ahead. And again, keep in mind, I am off on... I'm off tomorrow and Monday, so hopefully I've given you guys a whole bunch to work out here as we get into the weekend. You guys have yourselves a wonderful rest of the weekend. Maybe I'll share with you on Tuesday morning what I'm doing over the weekend, which might surprise some of you, might not surprise others. I don't know. So I really do appreciate it. Again, shout out to Tattooed Squirrel. All right, this is awesome. And where did you get these patches made? I mean, that's like super duper high quality. It even has the Velcro on the back. Nice. Tattooed Squirrel, email me. Let me know. This vendor, unless you're doing this, if so, keep me posted. But that's a really nice quality patch. Beautiful. Tattooed Squirrel. God, that's good stuff. All right, guys, have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. I'm off Friday. Duh. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. Peace out. Have a great weekend.